Grow Great is a city government leadership podcast with Lisa Norris and me, Randy Cantrell. Each week we share insights, experiences, and wisdom to help you and your leadership grow great. Our website is growgreat.com.
You know, we've all got things in life or work that are challenging, that just kind of dragging you down, knocking you down. Not, you know, people that have contacted me or that I've served, that always the bridesmaid, never the bride, right? They're always second. They can't land the job. They are trying to get in another field, can't get their foot in the door. Leads that have turnover, and they feel, and it's turnover again on somewhere else. It just seems that life, personally, you and I, Randy, have been through a lot. You're going through things now in your life, and it just kind of knocks us down and takes the wind out of you. So you have those things in life that knock you down. And I saw this quote, which I wanted to talk about today on this conversation. No matter what knocks you down in life, get back up and keep going. Never give up. Great blessings are a result of great perseverance. And how true is that? If you can just weather the storm, you know, I did a paper many, many moons ago in college on Michael Jordan, and he's so infamous, right? He just is the greatest of all time. In my book, just for character and the person. And then when I was doing the paper, it was like, yeah, he got cut from his high school team twice. I mean, he wasn't good enough, and he just kept playing and playing. And I don't remember the whole story, but he had adversity on his college team. But he made it. And he talked about he just kept going. He wasn't going to let the cut stop him, because he felt like he had something. He just needed to persevere and navigate it and perfect it, right? And so at some point, I believe we've all been through that. For me, we've talked about it on a lot of different episodes. Current role, navigating significant change, moving to the city manager's office, new role, new way to operate, new projects for which I have zero knowledge and I'm learning it. But it's just navigating it. And for me, the biggest point in this is not navigating it alone. Those that have either called me, come to me, that is what our leadership is about. They're asking for guidance. They're asking for encouragement or need it. And you have to recognize it. And it's lifting them up to get them to persevere, you know, get through the storm. There's going to be a storm, whether it's in your personal life, in your work life, and we get in our heads. So just surround yourself with people. For you, for me, it was you and my husband and leader. You know, you have leaders at work. You have friends at work that just say, just keep going. Just if you fall six times, be sure you get up seven. You know, and don't feel pity for yourself. Be strong and just keep moving, because eventually you will come out of the storm. We did the episode on be a buffalo. Mm-hmm. You know, head into the storm and just get through it faster.
Yeah.
So I think that's relevant. And so much that we're going through, people need to hear. I'm sure there's people right now listening that are in the storm. They've been in the storm and can't seem to get out of it. And I would tell you, weather it, man. Just weather it with strength. Surround yourself with people who will encourage you. Be self-aware and know if you have gaps, don't shut those down. And disconnect, but just weather the storm and you will come out on the other side. There is a rainbow. There is a silver lining. You just got to get there.
Yeah. I think it was Steve Martin that may have said, be so good, they can't ignore you. And for this conversation, I might would modify that, you know, and be so determined that you can't lose.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that you won't lose. It doesn't mean you're going to win every battle, but you know, it's a long slog, man. I mean, life is a marathon. We do have these moments where we sprint, and we might lose the sprint, but that doesn't mean we have to lose the overall race. You know, and other than kind of the self-help gurus and all the platitudes that we all hear about grit and determination and resilience and, well, perseverance, as this quote uses, there's just something to that. You know, there's absolutely something to talent. There's something to experience. There's something to knowledge and know-how and skill and ability. But if you took all of those and you lower perseverance or determination or pick whatever word you like, I mean, you don't have much. You don't have much. As a previous long-term HR person, you're hiring somebody, and would you rather that they be world-class in their specific industry knowledge and the technical stuff, but maybe their perseverance or their grit or determination is low? Or would you rather sacrifice a little bit of the expertise with somebody that's absolutely dead set determined?
Yeah, it's so challenging, because I think what's critical for me in this, it's so many people just talk about the perseverance and we said weather the storm. But there's another aspect of this that I wanted to kind of focus on for our conversation today, which is self-awareness and the whole theory of insanity, you know, doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result. For me, when you're weathering the storm, if the storm continues and it's the same storm over and over and over, I challenge the person I'm talking with, our audience, myself, are you doing the same things?
Yeah,
are we
creating
the storm?
Are
we creating the storm ourselves because we are unwilling to change? And then you get to the blame game. Well, it's because I had a bad boss. Well, it's because I didn't have enough money. Well, it's because the culture there is terrible. Well, it's because, you know, I believe, Randy, that there is a lot we're in control of. But if you're unwilling to recognize and own where your gaps are and work specifically to improve upon them, the storm is going to follow you. You won't come out of it. You have to have a degree through perseverance. The word itself indicates work. Perseverance isn't sitting idly by and sitting back in a lounge chair going, man, I hope I get through this storm. It is about drive. It is about energy and effort. It's about self-awareness. It's about character. All the things that help you weather something is an indicator that weathering the storm by and of itself is work. You have to go through and do something about it to come out with what, you know, this quote calls for, great blessings. You cannot sit idly by and think everybody else is going to change and I'm going to go get a better boss. I'm going to go get a better environment. I'm going to go get a better job. Well, what are you doing? Own it. Do you need more education? Go get it. There are ways that you can find to do that instead of just discounting, well, I can't get an education. I don't have money. There's tuition. It might take you, my best friend took her 10 years working full time and having kids, but she did 2 classes a night. You know, I mean, she just could do 1 or 2 classes. It took her 10 years to get her degree, but she got it. And 4 years later, got a manager role. I mean, there's just, if you want it bad enough, you can do it. You just got to persevere and find the ways to do it and own your gaps and not blame somebody else for them. Figure out what it is you're trying to achieve and take steps towards it so you can get through that storm and come out better on the other side.
Well, we could use Grow Great, the podcast, growgreat.com. That's our website. As a bit of a test case for this. So Lisa and I start this project. Now, Grow Great, or some semblance of Grow Great, has been around for a while, and it's always kind of had a leadership bend. But as my career...
Your website.
Yeah.
Your website.
My website and a podcast associated with it. But some years ago, I leaned hard into just city government because that's where my work was taking me. And it was the work that I really most enjoyed. I'd spent a life in the business world and was frankly kind of getting tired of it. And I just pretty much went pot committed to city government. And so with Lisa coming on board, you know, we went that direction. Now, you know, not any kind of big audience at first. It has grown. It has grown. It's continued to grow. And we've kind of hit a little bit of a tipping point. But it's taken us this long. You know, our email list, we've got over 1,000 people on our email list. If you want to join that, you can go to the website and find ways to do it. And we don't really even produce a newsletter. The email is just a reminder, hey, we've posted a new episode. So if you want to go check it out, go check it out. So it's real innocuous and we don't abuse the list at all. But, you know, we've now kind of hit this tipping point. In the podcasting world, it's long been understood because there's stats to back this up that most new podcasts don't make it past episode 7. They fall off, they quit because everybody thinks, well, firing up a microphone and talking into a microphone, that's easy. Anybody can do it. And I can talk. I talk all the time. And it's just more work than people realize. And so by the time they get to episode 7, they're like, okay, well, this is, you know, I'm not Joe Rogan. You know, I'm not going to make $200 million with Spotify. And so I'm out, you know. So there goes the resilience. For us, it's, I think, yeah, I agree with you, the self-awareness stuff. And I don't want to hijack the angle because I like it. But I think part of that, too, is the self-awareness to understand what you expect and what you want. And what Lisa and I wanted is we wanted impact. We just wanted impact. We just wanted to share with more people because we kept encountering people who needed some encouragement, who needed a little bit of help, who needed a little bit of insight and maybe a little bit of experience, and people to not feel alone in the journey, whatever their own leadership journey looks like. You know, Lisa's leadership journey and mine, they don't look the same, but there are similarities. And we're committed to it. And we're committed to it for the exact same reason, because it has an impact on people's lives. People come to work every day and they either hate their job or they love their job or they're, you know, it's okay. And it's largely, we know it to be true. People, they quit a boss. There are people that kind of like what they do. They just don't like who they have to do it for. And it's like, well, if we can get out of our way as humans and we can help other humans, I don't know. I mean, how good is that? So I don't know that it has to be. In my mind, adversity is, we haven't had any big challenges with this podcast. We didn't launch and set the woods on fire. Okay, so you could view that as a challenge. But so sometimes I think I'm not seeing progress. I'm not feeling like I'm progressing. Maybe I can't measure anything. The good thing is some of the stuff for us as podcasters is we can. I mean, we know how many people are on our email list. We know how we have some sense of the engagement that we get when we post stuff over at LinkedIn, and we get positive feedback and we get positive comments and we get some email. And so there are these indexes that show us that we're on the right track. Now, whether that's good enough for us to persevere, okay, well, that's up to us. But
it's
again,
you've talked about your ideal outcome. You know, yeah. We had to know what we wanted, which is, I believe, is your point. We had to know what we wanted this to do.
That's right.
And to make sure, are we on that path? You and I agreed from the very start. We don't care how many likes we get. We don't care if we have 5 people. It was not about the number ever. Like you said, it was about the influence and impact. And people need to know, like you said, what they want. And have you taken steps toward achieving that?
Well, as you're thinking about self-awareness, I mean, I want to get back to that. So the self-awareness as it relates to this quote and as it relates to perseverance, I mean, connect that connect those dots for me of how you see the self-awareness playing either favorably or as a disadvantage if we don't get that right to our ability to persevere.
Well, so, you know, the first part of that quote, whatever knocks you down in life, for me, and I always tell people I'm an open book. There's a lot of things that can happen. Let's talk first about life. I had life challenges in the last 2 years with my mom, with her health and COVID and nearly dying, with my dad, who was perfectly fine, gets an aneurysm, dies 4 days later than this past September, with trying to navigate work, life, family, crisis. You know, you have all these things you're trying to balance and still be, I call it a good human, to be responsible to your work well, to be responsible to your family well. So that's one aspect. And the self-awareness in that is assessing for me, where are my gaps and listening to those around me. Giving encouragement, getting through that particular storm. My husband balancing, you're working these long hours and you're trying to do all this navigation with your family. You need rest. You need to sleep for 12 hours. And so, you know, it's these simple things, like you said, these little sprints along the way. Did you win it or did you lose it? But balancing it. We talked about work-life balance in a recent podcast episode. So when we're navigating that and persevering the storm, that's one aspect that I think is critical here, is relying upon the wisdom of others that are sharing with you and encouraging you and listening. Because when we try to be, when you try this on your own, you're going to keep focusing on what's in front of you. Again, going back to the definition of insanity, and I'm going to keep doing this, but I'm exhausted. I'm tired. I'm in tears in the life one. Right. Mm-hmm. And I had people around me going, can you just take a day off and go sleep? Do you need to be doing, you know, I mean, there's people just sensitive to where I'm at in that particular moment of crisis and listening and not keep doing the same thing and thinking I'm going to feel better tomorrow. Right. So part of perseverance is a self-awareness. Moving from personal to work, I'm in this new role. I'm trying to navigate it. We've talked about it where what I loved and breathed, which is HR, is reporting to somebody else now, while they gave me some other big projects to handle. And I had to navigate that mentally through a storm and trying to learn a new role and be better in that role to serve my directors that I lead, to help Bill, our city manager that's new, Cheryl, who's a deputy city manager, and Megan, who's in the last 2 years newer in role as a deputy city manager, and trying to provide that along with a peer, Walter, who has moved. Right. You're trying to navigate all these things because I'm at a new level. Not that I can't do it, but I just don't know what it looks like yet. And I'm learning and trying to navigate a bunch of relationships because I'm a huge relationship builder. So did I fall down during this last 6 months since October? Probably about 15 times. Yeah. You know, I mean, you just fall, but you can't stay down. And so picking myself back up, and trust me, there are moments you're like, what am I doing? But part of it is self-confidence. I have the confidence in myself. I don't know how to fail. So for me, there's self-confidence at play. But in moments where you're like, man, I don't think I'm doing this well. And that's the feeling I'm getting, that maybe I'm not doing this well. And it's just having people around you particularly going, okay, what do the facts say? You know, you're just kind of helping me. What do you know to be true? This is a moment. This isn't you always say, this isn't the novel. This is a chapter. So what are we going to do about it? And you realize it's just through encouragement, somebody saying, this is a moment, pick yourself back up. What are we going to do next? And you need people like that. You need people in your life that are helping you through those moments of maybe maybe that gap, I need to recognize how do I make that better? It's not that you're bad. It's not that I'm not responsible, not doing a good job. But in this new role, there are moments like, man, that didn't go well. Okay, I need to do that differently. And it's relying upon people you trust to help you see where you didn't do it well. And now let's shift and pivot and let's do that different. And I think, Randy, when I talk to people so often, they just keep, they're like, well, that's because, you know, my boss did this, or I couldn't get that new job. I'm just trying to get more money. I need to move to Central Texas. I need to, and you hear all these things.
Right.
But we have to do something about us. That's the check. It is not everything is external in the storm. The storm certainly is external, right?
Sure.
The storm is around us if you're talking about weather and trying to weather a storm, but it's moving at the same time you are. You can't control the storm, but you can certainly control you. And that's where, to me, those correlate is navigate what you are in control of, but don't do it alone. You need people around you that are really good friends, family, coaches, or mentors that help you recognize maybe you do need to modify this one thing. Maybe you need to navigate that differently and aren't just there rah-rahing you on. Just keep going through the storm, right? I mean, there needs to be a point to it in my mind.
That's right.
That you have to have self-awareness and know where you need to fix it to get to that blessing on the other side.
Yeah, I would sum it. In my head, it's pretty simple. It's accept responsibility. Mm-hmm. You know, the excuse making to me. Okay, what does that do for you? Okay, well, it lets me off the hook, and it makes me in the moment I can feel less bad about myself. But at the end of the day, then you basically have surrendered all your power. I'm not a guy that wants to surrender personal power. But you can do what you want. I was reminded as you were talking about that. So my son Ryan, who's now, you know, a 43-year-old father of three and running his own business. But when he was a kid playing hockey, we're kind of a hockey family. He's a really talented skater, was always a really good skater, a fast and really had great balance and absolutely hated to fall. And I remember us going to a Stars game, a Dallas Stars game. And I challenged him and I said, I just want you to watch. And this was back when Mike Madonna was playing. And I said, just watch how many times he gets knocked down in the course of a shift being you go out there and you're skating for like 45 seconds. And then you come back to the bench and somebody replaces you just in a single shift. Let's just count how many times he gets knocked down. And
he's the best of the best.
Oh, these are world class. These are the best hockey players on the planet. These are guys that have been skating since they were three. I mean, these are talented, talented guys.
Right.
And guys like Madonna, even more talented. So you're talking about the best of the best now. And you start looking at these guys, and you could do this today. Today, you could go watch any NHL game and you can look at the best players on each team and just track how many times they get knocked down onto the ice. And my son was equating it. I knew him well enough to know he's equating this with not being as good a skater. It ain't got anything to do with it. The best ones, guess what they do? They get up and they don't miss a beat. They just don't miss a beat.
You see them almost slide and they go into a full... Yeah, they slide and come right back up like it was planned.
They don't even think about it. It's just part of the game.
Yeah.
And I've long thought about that and thought, you know, that for me, that works as a great metaphor for just life. Be as talented a skater as you can be. Do the best job that you can do. Are you still going to get knocked down? Yes, you are.
Are you going to be a Mike Madonna?
Are you just gonna lay there and take yourself out of the game and not now contribute, or are you gonna pop back up and do whatever you gotta do to make a go of it?
Yeah,
and
exactly
it's just part of it. But I think we can get it in our heads. We've got this expectation that I hear this all the time. It shouldn't be this hard. Well, who told you that? I mean, what conference did you go to that I missed that told us this is all going to be easy, you know?
Yeah.
It's all hard. It's all hard. But failing is hard, too, and falling down and staying down, that's hard, too, and that sucks. Who wants to do that? You can, but...
It's so interesting because similarly, and I don't think Haley, my daughter is a director down in Burnett, Texas, in city of Burnett, and she's the HR director there. And a similar story. And you talk about these storms, and they can be the sprint or they can be the marathon. And these marathons can be really long. And I remember her in softball similarly. She's not fast. She will tell you she's not fast, but she wanted to play college ball. From when she was started softball at 8 or 9, you know, she kept seeing these players that where they had when they had Olympic teams and others that, you know, that was just a dream of hers. And I remember when she was starting softball and hitting that she went through these teams. She got she worked really hard. My husband invested all in, kind of like you did. He coached. He helped all three kids. But as her hitting, when he would work on hitting with her, you know, it's things that he would say, who told you you have to hit like a girl? We're no longer hitting. We're hitting. We're just hitting. There's, you know, he get, cause people said, well, no, it's girls softball and boys. And he goes, no, hitting's hitting. You just have a different size ball and at a closer proximity, you know? So as she went through this, I remember two things when they would work on hitting. This was from 9 up to she ended up playing college ball and getting recruited. And so as they went through this journey and her speed, she got a speed and agility coach because she had to make a certain time from home to first for colleges to even her to even get attention.
Right.
And she had to work hard on that, you know, for a long time in the summer heat sweating. So she went through this. And I remember at some point as she's navigating this and Don would work with her on her hitting. In in select ball, when she was before high school, they're like, you don't expect to get on the team. I mean, this is a hard road. So few make it. Just enjoy playing, you know.
Right.
She's like, not only am I going to make the team, I'm going to make the varsity team.
Right.
And so she put in that hard work continually. She worked with Dawn every day. Other kids probably went and had fun. She went and practiced and came home until dark. They would be out in the alley out back.
Right.
Practicing throwing, practicing on sliding. So as she goes through this, when you talk about this journey, then the high school says, don't expect to make college. So she works harder. She starts working harder on her speed, working with Dawn on her hitting. She gets recruited by a college for a full scholarship, right? And then you talk about the storm. She comes back from her first, I think it was first semester, first year. I don't remember what it was. In tears. Some personal challenges. She's got a full scholarship. She is being paid to play. And she's like, well, I'm not hitting. Don, who's worked with her whole life, he takes her out back. He said, well, let's go. I remember her coming in tears, him coming in, not talking. And he's like, I don't know what the heck happened. You are a paid player. You will lose your spot unless you get it together and I don't know what you did, but this is going to stop. And to get it back, you will lose your position. You are a paid athlete and it is your choice. And she was crying and he's frustrated. But you know what? The next day she was like, well, I can't, I did. And then all of a sudden she's like, nope, this is on me. Cause he goes, I don't know what choices you made. I don't know what you did, but the ability in the moment, it was everybody else. But at the end of the day, here she comes and she's like, no, I need to work. And they worked over Christmas break, that 3 weeks, and got her back to speed, got her back in her, what she needed to be. And she succeeded on that team and became through this adversity, she almost got the designated hitter of the whole region. She was batting like 729, lining out home runs. So for that glory, she ended up getting hurt and had to stop playing. But she could have easily, through that storm, quit. She could have said, this isn't worth it. I don't want to play anymore. And blamed it on the coach, blamed it on the school, blamed it on whatever. She didn't choose to. She chose to mourn for a minute and then get back in it and let her dad help her because he had helped her all along. But you know what I'm saying? So that perseverance, this was years and years. So when we talk about a storm, it didn't come easy to her. But at the end of the day, she was able to achieve all her goals one at a time. And it was amazing for her. And I would tell everybody, you know, persevere that storm, but own it. Like you said, accountability. You must recognize your faults to improve them and get out of the storm in the bad weather.
Thanks for watching and listening to Grow Great, a city government leadership podcast. For Lisa Norris, I'm Randy Cantrell. Be well, do good, grow great. The website is growgreat.com.